Chapter 12. The scorpion's head was almost half as wide as the river, and it dragged its massive pincers out of the water as it watched the locals run over the bridge. Betty had frozen in fear, and Mia desperately pulled at the old woman, while the rest of the locals ran toward me. "Move!" I yelled. But Betty was locked in place, and no amount of tugging would get her moving again. The scorpion was closer to the other side of the bridge, and I saw Haywan and Becca run forward to help. Haywan opened fire, and the scorpion reared back. Becca pushed Mia slightly, and the local woman started to run across the bridge, but Betty collapsed onto the bridge and refused to move. "Becca! Haywan!" I shouted. "Move!" The scorpion lunged again, and I heard bullets ping off the dark red exoskeleton as we opened fire. The girls managed to dodge away from the creature's jaws, but Betty screamed again as a massive pincer swung down and just missed the old woman. Bricks and stones flew into the air, and the girls were forced to sprint for the far side of the bridge. I aimed my rifle at the creature's skull, but the bullet bounced off the armor again. The scorpion swung its head around and peered in my direction.
"Seems like its head armor is pretty solid," I yelled.
"It has armor?"
Roger asked in amazement.
"Scorpions have exoskeletons,"
I replied, as I tried to aim for an eye. Haywan, Becca, and Mia all skidded to a halt near me, and the girls quickly aimed their rifles at the giant arachnid.
"Don't waste the ammo," I said. "We need to find another way to kill it."
Betty, meanwhile, had clambered to her feet and was moving aimlessly across the bridge. The scorpion didn't seem to notice her at first, and I hoped it would stay that way until we could find a way to kill the creature.
"I tried to move her,"
Becca said.
"Just leave her,"
Teddy suggested.
"If we run now, it'll be distracted with Betty and we can escape."
"No chance," I replied. "We're going to need to cross that river again, so we need to kill this thing."
"Do you think it can leave the water?"
Becca asked.
"I really hope not," I replied. "We need to get closer to find out where its weak spot is. But make sure to steer clear of that tail."
The girls nodded as I took the lead and ran toward the bridge. An overpowering smell of damp hit me as I got closer to the dinosaur, and I could swear that I felt some sort of weird vibration in the air. It was hard to tell exactly how large the beast was when it was half submerged in the water, but it couldn't have been far off the size of the Spinosaurus we had met earlier in our journey.
"I'll distract it," I shouted to the girls. "I'll try and lead it away from the group. When it turns, try and find a spot that isn't covered in armor."
Before the girls could protest, I ran up to the scorpion and fired another round toward its head. I must have found a soft spot somewhere, because it pulled back again as I sprinted by. I tried to grab Betty as I neared the edge of the bridge, but she jerked away from me and then screamed as one of the pincers loomed overhead. I took off again, and I heard the water below slosh against the bank as the beast turned to follow me. At least that part of the plan had worked, although I still had no idea where its soft spot was. I heard multiple screams from behind me and glanced over my shoulder to see that the scorpion had placed its two front feet on the riverbank, and it had started to pull itself out of the water as the rest of the group tried to run across the bridge. Haywan and Becca both opened fire, and then the thing made a grab for the blonde. She fell backwards and opened fire with the rifle again. Then she rolled out of the way of one of the pincers. And that's when I saw what I'd been hoping to find. I caught a glimpse of what looked like soft beige skin just below its neck, where a piece of armor was missing.
"The neck!"
I shouted.
"It has an exposed spot at the front of the neck!"
I started to run back toward the girls as I waved at the creature, though I had no idea if they had heard me over the sloshing of the water and the sound of crunching bricks.
"The neck!"
I yelled again as the local sprinted past me.
"There's a spot where the armor is missing!"
Becca and Haywan risked a glance in my direction, and I pointed to the spot on my own throat. Haywan nodded, and I saw her study the creature as she looked for the unprotected sliver of skin. Becca grasped my meaning a moment later, but was forced to dodge another large limb. I made it back to the girls as they opened fire once more. One bullet nicked the spot, and the creature jerked away before they could open fire again. I waited for it to lunge forward again and then aimed at the weak spot. I saw the bullet tunnel into the skin, and the scorpion screeched in pain. It didn't go down, though, and it smashed hard against the bridge in frustration. I felt the structure shake beneath us, and my girls gave me a worried look. Betty, unfortunately, had finally decided to move off the bridge. She started to run back toward the far edge of the bridge, and the scorpion must have decided she would be an easier target. One large pincer descended from the sky in a hail of bullets, but the armor held, and the terrible claw closed around the older woman. Betty's scream was cut off, and then there was a loud crunch as her body was crushed under the pressure. The scorpion sank back into the river before I could line up my next shot. I did a quick check for the rest of the locals, and I spotted Fareed and Mia hidden behind one large tree, and Teddy and Roger huddled behind another. I couldn't see Baxter or either of the blonde men, and I just hoped that they'd made it safely to the other side as well.
"Is it hurt?"
Becca asked.
"Did you get it?"
"I definitely hit it," I said, as we watched the giant shape submerge itself underwater. "But I don't think I did that much damage. Mostly it just seemed really pissed off."
"I think it's breathing,"
Haywan observed, as a trail of bubbles trickled to the surface.
"But I don't think it can be out of the water for very long."
"That buys us a few minutes," I said. "If the only weak spot is at the front where the skeleton is chipped, we'll need to hit that spot with everything we have when it emerges."
"Jason!"
Fareed called from his hiding spot.
"What should we do?"
"Just stay hidden," I called back. "We're waiting for it to surface again so we can kill it."
"Can we help?"
the chef asked.
"Only if you know how to crack the armor," I replied, as I kept my eyes on the water.
"I have this," the chef replied. "Do you want it?"
I turned around to see that Fareed had pulled a large kitchen knife from somewhere. Mia looked suitably impressed with the knife, and I'm sure I did as well. I ran over to Fareed and accepted the knife.
"What else can I do?" Fareed asked.
"Just stay still and quiet," I said, as I tucked his knife into my belt loop. "Don't do anything that'll get this thing's attention." Before I'd even finished speaking, the shriek sounded from the water again, and the scorpion began to rise up from the water. It moved more slowly this time, as if it knew enough to be more cautious around the rifles. I started to run back toward the girls and scanned for the telltale beige skin.
"There's another weak spot,"
Becca shouted, as the scorpion's tail flew out of the river.
"On the tail!"
I spotted the large spot of armorless skin, which was larger than the area on its neck. Haywan lined up her rifle, but the tail continuously darted from side to side, and the Korean had trouble finding her target. The scorpion started to pull itself out of the water once more, and the girls looked at me as I tried to calculate our best move. I felt the weight of Fareed's knife in my belt, and I knew it would do a lot of damage if I could get at that exposed spot on the scorpion's throat.
"I need to get to the front," I said as I joined the girls. "If I can get this knife into the jugular, it should bleed out pretty quickly."
"How are you going to get that close without getting killed?"
Becca asked.
"We attack the tail,"
Haywan said, as the creature's front legs latched onto the river's edge.
"If we can get to the skin from behind, it might give Jason a chance to get closer at the front."
"I'm not sure I like that plan," I said. "Scorpions are venomous, and it's all in the tail. We've already seen what dino venom can do."
"But there is no other way to draw its attention unless you want us to just run around like Betty,"
Haywan pointed out.
"We can do it,"
Becca added.
"We're fast enough to avoid getting hit. Besides, we haven't seen it use its venom yet. Perhaps that came later in their evolution."
"Or maybe it just hasn't needed to," I replied. "But if you start attacking the soft spot on the tail, it may decide it's time to use it."
"Well, you're not attacking it alone,"
Becca argued as another screech filled the air. We looked over to the side of the bridge and saw the arachnid was on the riverbank.
"Okay, fine," I said. "Just be careful."
The girls nodded, and we ran to the edge of the bridge together. I found a spot behind some debris to wait for the scorpion while the girls ran a few feet further down the towpath to take aim at the tail. The scorpion was moving through the mud when I caught movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned to see Baxter make a run for it, his hand still tied behind his back, as he sprinted from the cover of the trees and ran toward the path. The scorpion decided that Baxter was an easier target, and the creature launched itself into an unexpectedly fast scuttle straight past me and the girls.
"Hey!"
I yelled in an attempt to distract the beast.
"Over here!"
I ran after the scorpion, but it reached the runaway pub owner before I did. Baxter looked up and saw the giant claw over his head, and a muffled scream escaped the tape. I heard a rifle crack, and I glanced back at the girls. Becca had taken a shot at the tail, which seemed to annoy the scorpion more than anything else. It swung its head toward the pair even as the claw came down on Baxter and knocked him to the ground. As the scorpion started to swing around again, I realized that getting to the soft spot on its neck would be harder than I thought. I would have to get it on the ground somehow, since climbing the scaly armor didn't seem like a good idea. Becca and Haywan both fired at the tail again before the beast could charge. At least one of the bullets must have hit the target, because the scorpion stopped mid-turn with its head directly over me, and then it wobbled and shrieked before it started to back off toward the river. I took aim at the neck once more, but as I shot, the scorpion crashed back into the river, presumably to regain its strength. Its tail, however, was still stuck on land.
"What should we do, Jason?"
Becca called as I sprinted toward the creature.
"Get the tail! It'll make what I'm about to do a lot easier!"
"Jason!"
Haywan shouted back.
"Be careful!"
I barely had time to think, let alone reconsider my plan, as I ran as fast as my legs would carry me and dove onto the damaged bridge. The scorpion's head was just below the side nearest Baxter, and so the girls ran toward the other end of the bank. They stopped closer to the edge than I would have liked, but I had to trust in them to know when to back off. I waited for the scorpion to move, and I watched as Baxter started to crawl back into the cover of the trees, which proved difficult with his hands tied behind his back. Fareed stepped out from behind his tree, presumably to try and help, but I was glad to see Mia pulled him back out of sight. I felt the bridge vibrate as the aquatic creature readied itself to leave the water, and I grabbed Fareed's knife from my belt. The stone rumbled beneath me, and I wasn't sure if it was going to hold as the scorpion's head crashed back out through the water. As soon as the tail was visible, Haywan and Becca set their feet and raised their rifles. Haywan took the first shot and nailed the scorpion in the exposed skin. The aquatic creature roared with pain, and as its tail flopped weakly, Becca was able to take her shot and hit it a second time in the same spot. I leapt up from behind the crumbled stone and jumped onto the raised wall of the bridge. The scorpion's exposed neck was directly in front of me, and it hadn't noticed me yet as it thrashed about in pain.
"Let's do this,"
I said through gritted teeth. I leapt toward the massive beast and sunk the long kitchen knife deep into the scorpion's flesh. Screams pierced the air, and at least one of them belonged to the scorpion. The sound shook my entire body as I fell backwards onto the stone bridge and landed hard on my spine.
"Jason!"
Becca screamed as I struggled to my feet from the painful fall. The back of my head throbbed, and I had ripped the skin of my palms, but I had bigger problems to worry about. The knife had sunk deep into the scorpion, and blood poured out of the wound and oozed into the river from its neck and tail. The creature struck a claw down on the bridge again, and I felt the stone beneath me start to crumble. I ran as fast as I could over to the riverbank and threw myself onto the muddy ground, just as the scorpion landed another blow on the bridge. The old stone crashed into the water and sent great plumes of water into the air. I heard footsteps running my way, and I looked up to see what new dino was heading my way. To my relief, I saw Haywan and Becca running toward me. I managed to stumble to my feet and stood unsteadily for a moment as I watched the girls.
"Jason,"
Haywan said as she stopped in front of me.
"You could have died. That was insane,"
Becca gasped.
"But I think you killed it. It's bleeding out."
As soon as the blonde spoke, the scorpion made one last bid for revenge, and it heaved itself out of the river and onto the bank beside us.
"Fuck!"
I said as we dove out of the way of the thrashing pincers. The scorpion blocked the path, but it wasn't very coordinated or all that fast anymore. We managed to duck and weave around the tail and pincers until we were able to clamber up the bank and away from the river.
"What now?"
Becca asked as we watched the giant scorpion stumble from side to side with the last of its strength.
"I think we just need to keep avoiding it," I said. "You are right, it's bleeding out, and I don't think it has much longer."
"Uh-oh,"
Haywan said.
"Look at Baxter."
I looked over to the trees to see that the pub owner had managed to untie himself, and with his newfound freedom, had run from the safety of the woodland. He made a beeline straight for the road and flipped me off as he ran.
"This is going to be very ugly," I said, as the scorpion spotted Baxter and swung around to face the disgraced man.
We heard Baxter's muffled scream as the sea beast reached down with its huge pincer and grabbed Baxter by his large stomach. The scorpion shrieked
waved Baxter in the air for a moment, and then fell onto its side with an almighty crash. Dust, mud, and water flew into the air when the creature landed, and we ducked behind the rubble again until the mud storm stopped. When the eerie silence had lingered for several heartbeats, we peered out from our spot. The scorpion was on its side, though it had curled up into a ball. The upper half of Baxter's body laid nearby, but I had no idea where his stomach or legs had ended up.
I think I hate scorpions more than spiders,
Haywan said.
Me too,
Becca said, her eyes fixed on the creature's body.
Although, if we ever meet a spider that size, I think I'll just jump in the river voluntarily.
I put my arms around both girls' shoulders and let out a sigh that turned into a laugh. A giant sea scorpion, I said. We can add that to the list of creatures whose asses we've kicked.
I wouldn't mind if that list stopped growing,
Becca said.
Jason, that was some action movie shit you just pulled. Jumping up to stab a giant scorpion? I mean, come on! It was amazing,
Haywan said.
It made my heart stop for a moment, but you were so brave and fast.
We all were, I said. I wouldn't have made it if you two hadn't been such good shots.
Weird what adrenaline can make you do,
Becca mused.
And I guess the whole Baxter and Betty problem is, fixed.
I glanced at the river water and saw the other half of Baxter's body. Jason! Farid shouted as he ran from the trees toward us. Becca! Haywan! Oh my goodness! The cook was joined by the rest of the locals, although they all moved much more cautiously than the chef toward us.
I can't believe you did that! Farid gasped. You told me earlier that you did not think you're brave. Well, I will not hear such nonsense again. You are all incredible! Bloody hell!
Roger mumbled as he looked at the scorpion's corpse.
I take it Baxter is...
Yeah, I nodded. He got crunched up pretty bad. So I guess he did get fed to the dinos despite the vote. Teddy covered his mouth, and the two blonde men stared at the river. I got the feeling none of them had seen a dead prehistoric creature up close before, or had personally witnessed someone getting eaten before.
Kind of ruined the bridge,
Mia said, and we all looked over to the damage the scorpion had caused. The bridge was little more than a few stone pillars and one bit of road in the middle of the river.
Well, that's a problem, Farid sighed. It's not going to be easy to get out of the city now.
But there are other bridges, right? I asked. We were going to get on the highway on the north side of town. There was a bridge there we could cross.
That would be Edward's Bridge, the cook said.
Is it still in one piece?
Becca asked.
I'm sorry, Farid said. A huge dinosaur tried to cross it a few weeks ago, but it couldn't take the weight. The bridge is completely destroyed.